Canada Got Soul presents episode 121, True to Size.
I like that. That was very professional. What's going on, everyone? And welcome to True to Size. We are a weekly podcast centered around the wild world of sneakers. I will be your host today. My name is Lawrence Hopkins, and I'm joined by the rest of the quarantine at Canada Got Soul, Mr. Joel Hernandez.
Hola.
Mr. Alvin Martinez.
Yo, 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 yo.
And are you guys ready?
Okay.
Always.
And he may be a late bloomer to the sneaker world, but don't let that fool you, because he's put in the time, and his collection will school you. One of the nicest sneaker dads that you may ever meet. Say what up to Mike, a.k.a. Jump In With 2 Feet.
Hey, bars.
Mike, thanks for being here. It's long overdue for sure. We've had your brother on too many times, and we're sick of him, so we're glad we can upgrade a little bit.
Yeah, no, I'm glad I'm not the only one that's sick of him. So,
thanks, guys. We are back. So we took a hiatus last week, as we mentioned on the last episode, but we are back and we're going to keep it a little bit light this week. So we've got some news to cover and we've got some other content to run through in our weekly segments. And that's before we get to our guest of honor, Mike. It is his first time with us, so he gets to star in everyone's favorite game show, 21 Questions. And then we get to learn his sneaker story during his soulography. After that, we're going to talk about what it was like for him getting into the sneaker game later in life and how it may have influenced his buying style and taste. But first, Joel.
Whoosh. Fire round.
Oh, wait, sorry. Alvin got a mic. But first, Alvin.
New mic.
No, it's okay.
Now he's feeling the pressure.
Oh, my God.
But first, Alvin.
Fire round.
Somehow it got worse with the mic. Oh, man. Oh, man. Yes, the fire round. We like to start every show with a quick hitting question from you, our listeners. And this week's question comes from sneaker.mc. Good friend of the show. Really cool feed on Instagram. I'm wondering, is it supposed to be sneaker Mick? Like almost like McDonald's, but backwards?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it Sneaker MC? We'll have to let us know there, Sneaker Mick. Anyways, he says, very quick and short to the point question here. Has quarantine changed your shoe buying habits? And if so, how? His answer, once again, quick and to the point. Yes, it's way up. So we'll start with the person who everyone knows the answer to this question. Alvin, how has it affected your sneaker buying habits?
So essentially when it first started, it was pretty bad. Like really bad. Like, I guess, I don't know. I saw John at least once a week.
We know.
But now it's kind of like really toned down. Like I haven't been really hunting, but I would say give it about a day or so and I'll get back to it.
Man, yeah, he was offloading some pairs.
Yeah, John was getting...
I'm
so mad I'm not 11 and a half.
Yeah, no, man, he's been giving some crazy deals, but he also did an amazing thing recently too, right? Mm-hmm. So, shout out to John, but also shout out for, you know, taking my money. now honestly, I'm chilling, man. Like, I don't have a need to purchase sneakers right now. Hopefully it lasts at least a year so I can cop something big, but yeah,
good luck.
Probably not.
Do you want to give the listeners a rundown of what John was doing, Alvin? Because it was a really cool thing. And I mean, if you want to make yourself feel better, you kind of didn't buy shoes, but you donated to a cause.
Mm-hmm. So John had like a bunch of shoes he was trying to offload. And recently he said that whatever profit he makes off of the shoes, he'll be donating to a charity, a black charity. I just can't remember which one charity. Specifically.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But it was definitely a Canadian charity to help out, you know, the cause, you know, Black Lives Matter, obviously. And I think at the end, so basically what he did was he posted shoes. He had a starting bid.
Mm. Yeah.
And essentially anyone who wanted to help out or want the shoe would have to place a bid. And then after a specific time, that was when it ended. Whoever had the highest bid would get the shoe. I think he said he ended up getting almost $2,800, yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool, man. Not a lot of people will give up their own pairs slash $2,800 and donate it somewhere. So
yes,
yeah.
Big ups to John for real.
For real, man.
Yeah, that was really cool. I almost, awesome, like really close, bought those 94 Bred ones in a size 3Y.
Oh man, I know. I was tempted, man.
So close. It would have been the world's most expensive rear view mirror decoration, but I was really close to buying them. Joel, how has quarantine affected your sneaker buying habits?
Oh man, it's probably increased more, I'd say. Like, I don't really buy much sneakers to begin with. So I'd probably say it has increased a bit, just a tad, during the whole pandemic. But it's gotten me to buy a lot on Amazon. Mm. But not sneakers, but like stuff for like the dog and for the house, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. So it's increased like Amazon Prime. Like it's taken my money a lot. So yeah, man. Shout out to Amazon Prime, bro.
Good friend of the show. Actually, the Fire Round this week is sponsored by Amazon Prime. Thank you, Amazon Prime, for your donation.
Yeah.
yeah, so for me, like Alvin said, it kind of, right at the beginning, really affected it. Like, I think, especially when I was having to stay home, like before I was back at work, you have nothing to do. So you're just shopping for sneakers online, and you're thinking of stuff that you haven't seen in a while or haven't looked at in a while. And you're like, oh, I could buy those. I could buy those. I could buy those. And now I think it's mostly just like the itch that I want to go out. And it feels like outside is the equivalent to buying shoes. So I'm not buying shoes, but I just have the itch to like search for shoes. Like, I want to go on Kijiji and find good deals, but then I don't buy anything. So I don't know what's going on with my mind right now. Maybe it's just something else going on in there. But but yeah, it's definitely, it did increase my sneaker buying and my sneaker browsing a lot. Mike, you always buy shoes at a high clip. So if you say that your sneaker buying has gone up, then I'll be very disturbed.
It went up really early during COVID. All of it.
It's sustained.
Yeah, no, let's just say I was lucky not to have to pay property taxes for a bit.
Shout out to the deferred mortgages.
Yo, you don't even know, bro.
Sneaker MC, thank you for the question. If you would like to submit a question for the Fire Round and have us answer it on the pod, please shoot us a message on Instagram or email us at CanadaGotSoul@gmail.com. Next up, the CGS picks. Each week, we all pick an upcoming sneaker to analyze, dissect, and give our thoughts on. Then we decide if it's poop, scoop, whoop-de-whoop, or Alvin's trademark phrase.
Super cute.
Oh, it's an Australian version this week. I like that. So we will go with the theme of the youngest person goes first in the CGS picks. So that, by default, is me this week, unfortunately, for all of you. And my pick this week is the LeBron 17 in the What The colorway. So they've been doing What The's for a long time. Obviously, everyone knows the backstory. The Dunks, way back when, were the first What The, and then they transitioned into basketball shoes and never really looked back. So they started with the What The LeBron 9, but which was only a sample in 2012, and they've kind of done it consistently ever since. So now they're doing it on the LeBron 17, and I'm not a huge fan, so I can't really break down the whole shoe because it is a What The, so all the panels are very mismatched and all over the place. But the thing is, the LeBron 17 is nice. It's cool. It's got the battle knit upper, which is really cool. It's got really cool paneling. It's a nice overall shoe, but it doesn't have the correct properties needed to do a What The. You need a lot of individual panels, and it just doesn't have the options. So it kind of just looks messy to me. Like, it's supposed to look like a bunch of different shoes put into one, and this just looks like someone tried to do that but wasn't able to, so this is what you got. I don't know. It's a poop for me. I don't even know how else to describe it. It's not the best. I like that they tried because I'm a big fan of the What The theming, but yeah, they kind of didn't hit the mark with these. So these are a poop, unfortunately, for me. But if you want them, they're coming out soon, so that's nice. Joel, what do you got?
For me, I did the a couple weeks back. I did the whole space hippie joint, and this year I'm doing the Air Jordan 1 High Zoom Space Hippie. So it's pretty much like just like with the Space Hippie collection or series that they're doing. It's all like recycled materials, and that's what it looks like on this Jordan 1 High. The sole looks like a speckled, you know, like a mashup, you know, materials, like all into one kind of thing. And it's got like that speckled look to it. That's pretty cool. On a white, looks like a white grayish midsole. The upper, it's like sort of like that same material that they use with the whole Space Hippie, the whole recycled materials. It's got like the high cut. What do you call that? It's sort of like the way that it's cut, like the upper.
It goes like straight across. The
proper terminal. Yeah, it's like that one's like one cut. Like you see the foam. The foam is exposed.
The exposed.
It's like all on the upper. Yeah, it's got like the Zoom Air probably midsoles in it and whatnot, or insoles in it, and it's really cool, man. Like it's cute for me. It's really dark. It's a dark upper.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a wolf gray on black. It's got that red stitching, like that cross stitching on the heel. It's got like the zoom tag on it and whatnot. But yeah, it's just a cool for me. I would have liked it if it was like a little bit brighter,
mm-hmm.
like a light grayish, you know, sort of like for it to flow along with the whole Space Hippie series that they got going on. But it's like a August 12th drop, 2020, 175 US. I rate it cute. I'm definitely not gonna scoop it, but it's cute.
Yeah, they're cool. I agree with you though. Like the whole other Space Hippie stuff, the color, like I think Bryce described it as like every single colored gum chewed up and spit out. It's like a light blue. Like I like that color, and they should have done it on the Jordan 1. I think it would have been a banger.
Like kept it going along.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it doesn't really fit in with the rest of what they're doing. And the midsole on the Jordan 1 with the outsole, like the speckle recycled look, looks so cool.
Yeah.
Like it's unfortunate the rest of the shoe doesn't line up with it. The outsole looks like, I don't know if you guys have ever been paintballing, but it looks like you stepped in a bunch of like paintball pellets. That's exactly what it looks like when you go paintballing. That's what your bottom of your shoe looks like afterwards. That's like a white thing, so maybe you guys aren't familiar with going somewhere and shooting each other. But yeah. So that's what that reminds me of. The white people sport of paintballing.
Splatter. Marcus.
Exactly, splatter. Alvin, what's your pick?
My pick is the Nike Air Force One from the B True Pack. It's set to release June 19th for a whopping price of 120 USD, mm-hmm. which is dope. Like,
yeah,
that's a really good price. So it's like 140, 150 Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, these are dope as F. So honestly, they're simple. They didn't change too much on the Air Force. The leather looks pristine. Like you see the tumble a little bit. They did change up a few things though, like where they usually have the Nike Air on the Air and then the swoosh on the midsole. They just moved the Air down and put the Pride flag on top of the swoosh.
Yeah, really cool.
That's crazy. And on the heel tab, they also took out like the regular Nike Air and just put the Pride flag as well.
I love the heel tab.
And then the insoles, that's my favorite part, to be honest. Yeah. Like the heel tab's crazy. It looks crazy. Mm-hmm. The insoles as well. They have Bichu on it, and obviously it's got different colors on there. And then the midsole / outsole is like translucent.
Yeah.
Not really though.
Like
it's
milky.
Like a clear but not clear. Yeah, it's like opaque.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. Super dope, man. It looks good. Simple. Again, simple. You don't really need to do much to the Air Force. But they definitely still made it look like a Pride shoe.
Yes.
Honestly. Super dope. There's a small detail too that's really crazy. Like if you look at the swoosh, they put like there's like a border around it, but it's got like that reflective kind of.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's iridescent 3M is what it looks like.
That's what it was. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lawrence. I couldn't think of iridescent at the time, but yeah, super dope. Definitely super scoop if I wasn't trying to refrain from purchasing. But yeah, if anyone else is, you know, about that life and buying sneakers right now, definitely scoop it because it's a beautiful shoe. And shape, especially what it represents, like, do it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shape is really nice on them too, man.
It is.
Yeah.
I really like the perforations on the tongue and on the side panels. It looks it gives it like that wingtip look almost. Like it's very dressy and formal. Yeah. It's a
it's like a brogue. Yeah, it's like a brogue kind of perforation.
Yeah, it's very cool. I'm a big fan of the shoe. Really, really nice. Good choice,
really
Alvin.
Nice, really nice. Yeah, man.
And Mike, you have a pick for us, I'm told.
Yeah, it's the version 2.5 of the Tom Sachs Nightcraft Mars Yard. Supposed to be, well, it was initially supposed to come out spring 2020. 2020 hasn't arrived yet, clearly. So it's going to be now, is what it's saying. It's saying, this is funny to read. They're saying the model features new and improved materials from its predecessor. So, okay, let's see how they do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it still has that mesh with the base and the upper brown suede and that red swoosh on the side. And, of course, there's going to be like 8,000 pairs, so like everyone's going to get a piece of that.
The most limited.
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. You only get one shoe.
Yeah.
You got to get the left. That's how they're going to do it. Mess with everybody. But, you know, these are cute, you know. But if I can grab them, you know, I'll grab a shoe. That'd be great. Yeah.
Just the laces from it would be a really good accomplishment, honestly. Like,
just the laces. Yeah.
Securing any
funny
piece of
like,
it.
Yeah, I was seeing like some of the pics that, you know, all these leaks are saying, like, it won't have like the cork insole. And so just like, okay, so they're changing up a few things, but 2.0s are pretty nice. But I don't feel like buying the overshoe and cutting it up. So we'll see.
Am I the only one, and maybe this is a hot take, I'm not sure, is the thinks the Mars Yard is like really overrated? Is that just me? I don't know if I'm going to get like crucified on the podcast for saying it, but like I was never a huge fan of the Mars Yard in general. And then like when I saw the price go up, I was just kind of like, what, why though? It's like, it's neat. Yeah. It's cool. The concept is pretty cool, but the shoe itself to me is kind of lackluster. Like,
It just looks like an old school runner, right?
Yeah, like it looks really plain.
Mm.
It's like a classic white t-shirt, right? Like everybody owns the classic white t-shirt and it's like a staple. And, you know, I think when he originally designed it, he was saying it's like an everyday shoe that you just slap on and groceries and stuff. Not, you know, next thing you know, it's like $10,000 a pair.
I know.
So you can't even buy groceries, let alone anything else. So.
Yeah, when you're an artist and you claim something is an everyday shoe, that means that everyone's going to want to buy it and wear it every day.
Yeah,
so the hype will immediately rise.
That's
good picks all around. Next up, this week in Kicks. Now is the part of the show where we discuss the current headlines and happenings in the world of sneakers. So obviously a whole lot going on right now. And as promised, we are not going to share any of the negative news because a lot of negative things came out of the sneaker world last week that were not the best. So we're going to try and share the good stuff. And one of the really good things that we did see was Jordan Brand is going all in for racial equality and social justice. Yeah. So right off the bat, obviously, there's a lot of brands that are donating time, money, resources, everything to a bunch of different Black Lives Matter causes around the world. But the one really notable one that I saw, because we can't cover everything, is Jordan Brand and Michael Jordan are pledging $100 million over the next 10 years to various organizations dedicated to ensuring racial equality, social justice, and greater access to education. So a quote from Jordan Brand is, Jordan Brand is us, the Black community. Jordan Brand is more than one man. It has always been a family. We represent a proud family that has overcome obstacles, fought against discrimination in communities worldwide, and that works every day to erase the stain of racism and the damage of injustice. The will, the work, the excellence the world has come to know is the result of one generation after another pouring their dreams into the next. Black Lives Matter. This isn't a controversial statement. Until the ingrained racism that allows our country's institutions to fail is completely eradicated, we will remain committed to protecting and improving the lives of Black people. So this was obviously really cool, and it was really cool for a lot of reasons. Obviously, the money is awesome. But Michael Jordan, as we all just saw in the documentary, personally said he doesn't like to get involved in quote unquote politics or those kind of social issues or anything. Like, he just wanted to be an athlete, stayed in his lane, and didn't want to publicly voice his opinions on those kind of things. But he really stepped up in a huge way with this, because it was mentioned that this is Jordan Brand and Michael Jordan donating this. So that was really cool to me. And it kind of comes off the heels of Jordan Brand's Jordan Wings initiative. So they have like the Jordan Wings initiative. They have a bunch of other basketball related programs, but they're acknowledging that like that's not enough. So they want to kind of broaden their scope a little bit. They don't want to just stick in their lane and their current footprint, which is basketball and like community outreach. They want to, because they have such a big voice and a big name, they want to extend on a larger scale than they currently are in different areas that they can now get to with this kind of donation and this kind of commitment. So big ups to Jordan Brand. It was really funny that Nike committed like $40 million. And then like literally an hour later, it was like, oh yeah, Jordan Brand's committing $100 million. I was really confused. Like, I don't know if Jordan was waiting. Like, Michael Jordan was sitting in his house looking at the iPad waiting for Nike to post something. And then he did the whole meme where he just looks up and he laughs. He's like, ah, $40 million, double it.
Yeah.
Weak. But good for Nike, good for Jordan, good for everybody who's donating. There's been a lot of good coming out of what's going on recently. So keep that shit up. Keep that same energy. Keep your foot on the gas, because it's not a trend. Everyone needs to remember that. Yeah, next up, Converse Hoops has a new signing. So we normally obviously would not cover a Converse Hoops signing because it's not the most exciting thing typically. But Converse is adding to their roster that currently includes Draymond Green and Kelly Oubre Jr. So a couple of perennial superstars there, by signing WNBA champion Natasha Cloud, which is, by the way, a really cool name from the Washington Mystic. So she's the first woman to be signed under the Converse Hoops umbrella, and she's committing to focusing on advocate work with her new partnership. So she's quoted as saying, "The biggest thing for me is to use my platform as a microphone. That's the goal, to be a voice for the voiceless." So obviously on the heels of the whole Black Lives Matter and it's Pride Month, she is a gay athlete, openly gay athlete in the WNBA. So, I mean, this is just an awesome signing by Converse and a really cool partnership. So hopefully a lot of good can come from this. Congratulations to Natasha Cloud. Next up, previously in Kicks, this is the part of the show where we review our latest pickups and recap the latest happenings in our sneaker lives. You know what? I'm going to go first. I never go first for anything. I'm going to go first. So this is a while ago now, but it was, I guess, almost 2 weeks ago. Alvin's pick on the podcast was the Hover Phantom Slip-On Pride Pack from Under Armour, the whole tie-dye upper. It's like he read somebody's mind, or he, I don't know what he did. Maybe he was living in 2021. Well, we're all still in 2020. But the day after Alvin picked that, the day the podcast dropped, knock on my door, Mr. Purelator Man drops off a box, and inside is the Pride Pack Hover Phantom Slip from Under Armour. Very cool shoe, as Alvin mentioned before. Love the tie-dye upper. It's reminiscent of the Nice Kicks Ultra Boost, the full tie-dye upper on the Ultra Boost. I'm a big fan of that shoe. I'm a big fan of this one. So thank you, Under Armour, for those. I believe Alvin got them as well, so I apologize if I stole your thunder a little bit there, buddy. and then also, Foot Locker Canada sent over a package a couple days after that, and it was the Air Force One LV8-3. Did you know that the LV8 is supposed to be Elevate?
Elevate,
Whoa, Elevate. That just blew my mind when I when I realized that. But yeah, so the Elevate 3. So it kind of looks like the utility Air Force Ones that they started doing maybe early last year. Pretty neat shoe. Definitely, it's mostly white, so it's basically an all-white pair of Air Forces, just with a couple of black details throughout. But really neat shoe. It'll be good for summer. Part of their Legends Are Worn campaign. So thank you to Foot Locker Canada for those. We do appreciate it. Alvin, anything to report? It's been a while. We were off last week, so you must have something. You've been pretty consistent.
Yeah, I know. I know the. I went to see Joel to pick up, do a porch pickup, because we got some surprises from really good family friend homie Kuya of the show Flippin' Laces, aka Christian.
Yep, yep.
Their whole family is doing like creating masks, and I think for every 12 that they sell, they're donating however many to the frontline workers.
Nice.
So some of them have sneakers, some of them don't. They're dope as F though. Mm-hmm. So each of us got a sneaker on ours. I got the Bacons, AM90 Bacons, nice. Because Queer yep. Christian wants to put it into reality that those are coming out and we're all getting pairs.
Nice.
And we also got the Just Kicking It TO t-shirts, which are dope as F.
Exclusive.
Shout out to Jalen.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jalen Gubatan. For hooking that up, and I think that might be it. Oh no, we bought paint, and we painted our bedroom. And there you go, that's a COVID cop right there.
Cool.
There you go.
What color did you paint your bedroom? The world wants to know.
White. Just white.
White. Yes.
Classy. I like it. Did you do an accent wall?
Sorta. So the paint that we purchased from Lowe's was really shitty.
Oh.
It took 3 coats to like. Actually get our wall white from beige.
Oh damn, that's not good.
So we use and it's like, bro, it's like oh, don't worry, primer's already there. Okay, cool. Did it work? Hell fucking no. So our back wall, we had to use the paint that we used for like our kitchen, which was like it's still white but a little bit of an off-white. So if you look really closely, it looks like an accent wall, but if you don't, then it still looks white, so we're good.
Okay, so you got best of both worlds. I like that. There you go.
Yeah,
nice. I guess
Joel, any COVID cops to report?
Other than the Supreme Kangol you hooked up.
Jeez.
No, man. I haven't really picked up anything.
Which
that red.
Which sneaker was on your mask from Flippin' Laces?
On mine?
Yeah.
It was the Amsterdams, bro.
Ooh, Amsterdams. Ooh,
nice. Amsterdam.
Don't tell me which sneaker's on mine. I'd like to be surprised. Let's see how well the family knows me. It's not a test, but if they fail, we're not friends anymore. So no pressure. Mike, any pickups or report in the last couple weeks, months, years, anything like that?
So early on when COVID first hit, I picked up the Atmos Air Max 1 Jordan 3 pack. And then later that week,
within the week,
I found the 2016 Atmos Air Max 1 Safari.
Oh,
sick!
And then that ended my COVID cops.
Those are strong cops, bro.
Those are very strong.
Yeah. Holy.
Yeah, shout out to NetMag for the Atmos MX1 Jordan pack. You know, it was his personal pairs, and
Like,
back and forth for like 3 weeks, and then when we met up, he's like, "Yeah, man, I love these shoes, but I don't have time to wear them." And then I realized that him and I are size 10, so really, it's game over. Like, I'm just gonna have to start a mortgage with them or something.
Yeah, take it a line of credit with NetMag.
It's like, y'all are doing subscriptions, but yeah, I'm just gonna start a line of credit.
That's his next move, I would assume. He's got the inventory for it.
Yeah.
Are you gonna shave the 2016 Atmos Safari?
You know, I kind of like them funky and like fuzzy like that. So, I like them like that.
I know that
the glow in the love him.
I know that Joel shaved his. He took the beard clippers to them immediately when he got them.
Pew.
I hope your clippers don't sound like that. Do your clippers shoot lasers out of them?
Yeah.
Next up, thumbs up, thumbs down. In this part of the show, we give our opinion on various sneaker-related topics with zero context or discussion. All we're allowed to say is thumbs up or thumbs down. And, you know, because it's COVID and everyone's in quarantine and everyone's still trying to buy shoes and stores are like, how are we going to sell people shoes? I want to know, thumbs up, thumbs down on Instagram sneaker raffles. And when I say that, I mean the typical livestock one where it's tag 3 friends, comment your size and city, and then add yourself to the pool of 12,000 other comments. Alvin, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Down.
Kuya Mike, Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Down.
Ooh, Joel, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
I'm thumbs down. I know why you said thumbs up too, but we can't talk about it. So. We'll talk about it after. I know the exact reason. I just want to know that I'm right. Next up, NSR. We talk about sneakers a lot. So in this weekly segment, we're going to take 30 seconds out of the show to discuss something completely irrelevant to the world of sneakers. And I know I say this a lot. I know that sometimes it may be overdramatic, but this time it's not. I need to know, this is important, and I don't even know how we're going to fit this into 30 seconds, but we always do. I need to know, what is your favorite, or no, scratch that, what is the best fast food accessory / accoutrement / sauce? Now, what I'm talking is Pizza Pizza Creamy Garlic Sauce, KFC Gravy, Chalet Sauce from Swiss Chalet, Sweet and Sour Sauce from McDonald's. What is the best accessory in fast food history? The GOAT, Alvin.
If we're talking chicken, it's definitely the Chalet sauce. If we're talking pizza, it's the Pizza Pizza Garlic Sauce.
But you got to pick between the two.
If we're talking...
You got to pick one. One to rule them all. Please, you better think it over, because this is life or death right now.
No, I'm good. The Pizza Pizza Garlic Sauce, because it's multi-purpose.
That's true. That's a good point.
Because take it in. It's kind of like butter. Mm-hmm. It's got that consistency.
You could put it on toast.
So one time I used it to... I used it to cook tofu.
Oh, that's a good idea. You could put it on toast
if you really want.
Tofu. But
you use it to cook tofu, let it crisp up, and it has that flavor in it. Ooh, boy.
Ooh. You know what? I did dip a sandwich in creamy garlic the other week because I had leftover and it was delicious. So I think I have to agree with Alvin. I think that Pizza Pizza Creamy Garlic Sauce is probably the best thing out there. Like if I was even getting McNuggets from McDonald's, they say sweet and sour. I say, no, I'm going to Pizza Pizza for creamy garlic sauce. So that's me for sure. Joel, what do you think?
Man, I don't know if it's... Okay, I think it's Mary Brown's.
Oh.
But it's, I'm thinking of the creamy coleslaw, bro.
Oh.
Like I can have that with like burgers, I can have that with like chicken, I can have that with like anything, bro. Like anything, like I don't know. Like for me it's that creamy. It's got to be the right one though, because there's some coleslaw that's just like too dried out. You gotta have the creamy one. I think I'm pretty sure it's Mary Brown's. They got it right.
Joel wants his coleslaw to be like soup. Like that's how much liquid.
Not like soup.
Like a stew.
But it's gotta be creamy.
Mike, what about you? What do you think? Food Master Mike.
It's gotta be, you know, you guys are talking about sauces. I want like extra food with my food. So it's like the Swiss Chalet buns when they're heated up
in there.
Or if you want to take your girl out real nice, the Red Lobster biscuits.
Oh, high class.
That's fine dining right there. So for those who are celebrating anniversaries, give up.
Yeah.
All right.
You don't go there the same week you buy the Atmos pack. Those are separate weeks for sure.
So, totally. Because she'll find out about one of them. It's clearly not.
Man, I know that True to Size is notorious for causing divorces, but I hope this isn't an instance of that, because there's a child involved.
Separate bank accounts, Lawrence.
There we go. Nice. Same bed, though. So at the end of the day. And I do believe, actually, we did just come under 30 seconds. Well done, gentlemen. Yeah. Next up, errors, edits, and e-messages. Were pretty smart guys, but from time to time we make mistakes. So if you catch us slipping, hit us in the DM and we'll let the world know that we goofed. So we did, we just want to point out, get a lot of messages of support and people who appreciated the episode we dropped last week. Everyone said that they liked it and it was thought-provoking and they were fans of that. So thank you to everyone who did listen to the like 5 minutes that we put out last week. If you didn't listen, go back and take a listen. It's something that everyone should probably hear. But we do have a long EEE. This guy's going for the top with longest EEE ever from Matto HMTL, obviously out of MTL. So this is going a little bit further back now because we were off for a while, but he says, hey gang, some thoughts on the last pod discussion about the culture shifting towards artist influencers instead of athletes. He says, why did we originally buy Jordans? Why did Nike advertise Be Like Mike? Because they knew the strongest pull in a consumer to buy shoes, besides performance, is a desire to identify with what the sneakers represent, be it an icon, cultural group, movement, and or message. To put it simply, the barrier to entry has lowered for artists. You can make a SoundCloud page, shitty cover art, half-decent auto-tune song in your friend's basement, put it up on Spotify, and earn ad revenue. As an athlete, you have to hone your craft and be naturally built for the sport, an ideal which has grown enormously over time. The caliber of players these days in any sport, minus golf, he says, has changed physically. In basketball, you have to be much taller and pretty built or crazy accurate, like LeBron or Steph Curry. In football, you have to be crazy built as the caliber of player is bigger, faster, and harder hitting with more modern equipment. In hockey, same thing. Gretzky in his prime wouldn't last a whole game against the Boston Bruins today. He says, long message to say the low barrier to entry allows the common sneaker consumer to identify easily with the rapper, something they could be with an athlete, and shares the same accomplishments via what you see on IG anyways. So just as much jewelry, cars, house party-wise with the rapper. So basically he's saying he thinks the market has switched from athletes to artists because it's easier to identify with an artist because the barrier to entry of artists is much lower. What do you guys think about that?
That makes sense. You don't really have to go to a studio to create music anymore. You just go on Amazon.ca, buy a mic, you know, buy all your beat making, you know, apparatuses, and you can literally like create a track at your house. You don't even need to soundproof anything. It's just, so long as everyone's quiet, you're good to go. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I get it. I don't know about that Gretzky comment though, because I feel like Gretzky can still kill the man. So. It's like saying like, you know, MJ wouldn't survive in his prime right now. MJ would slap people in his prime right now. He'd still be winning championships. So, I mean, yeah, I definitely agree. So, word.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good point. It's something I never really thought about. But he's right. Like, the barrier to entry is much lower.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to be like a Gretzky or a Jordan or whoever, it takes, as they say, 10,000 hours to reach perfection in any specific craft. So there's a lot more work that is involved, and there's such a smaller percentage of people who are actually going to make it in that field. But like you said, you can literally grab a couple mics, grab your friends, sit in Joel's basement and drop a podcast, and you can get however many views, right? So it's the same. It's so much easier to identify with people who are creating and who are artists and that kind of thing, because it is a lot easier to get noticed, to get involved, to get views, to whatever, because the internet is so much easier to get on than an NBA court, essentially, is what he's saying, which is a good point, a very good point. Thank you for that very thoughtful and heartfelt message, Matto. Next up, the moment that the entire podcast has been waiting for. It's 21 Questions featuring our guest, Tien, Mr. Mike. Are you still with us, Mike?
Oh, yeah. No, I was just looking up Little Nas X because, you know, music is so accessible now. And, I was making a recording just now, so I'm going to call Billy Ray and see what's up.
How many streams does Old Town Road have now? I want to know how much he's made off that song.
God.
What's
crazy is that just came out like a year ago to two
yeah
and a half.
Like not even a year ago. That's
crazy. And now he's one of those like made in my basement kind of thing, right?
Exactly, yeah. It's a good song though, I won't even lie. Anyways, Back to 21 questions. Your own personal fire round. It's 21 questions. You are married with a child, so your 21 questions on MSN Messenger obviously worked because it bagged you a shorty. But it's now time for us to bag you. I don't know what that means. Are you ready?
Well, I don't know what MSN Messenger is, but I know what Asian Avenue is.
Yes, I apologize. Oh, I was trying to lower your age for the audience. They have no idea, but I tried. Sorry. Anyways, are you ready for your 21 questions flying around? Question number one.
Pineapple on everything. Yeah, that's my answer.
Question number one, red or blue?
Blue.
Question number two, crew socks or no shows?
No shows.
Question number three, pineapple on pizza?
Hell yeah.
There we go. This is why you're here. Question number four, what is the most expensive shoe you've ever purchased? You don't have to say the price, just the shoe.
Yeah, so if we're halving the pack.
So the pack itself.
Yeah. Okay. Let's call it.
That's fair. Number five, original boxes or drop fronts?
Original boxes.
Number six, most comfortable shoe you own?
It's got to be the Livestock Adidas Consortium collab from 2 years ago.
Those are cool. The yellow one?
Yeah. Not the bright yellow one. It's like the gray.
The orange.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the trail shoe.
Mm.
The trail shoe, yeah.
The career, really, yeah.
I'm such a dad. I just use it to walk the dog. But...
You're a hype dad.
It's perfect.
You're a hype dad.
Yeah. When I do groceries, you know, it's gotta be.
When you go wait in line at Sobeys, you're killing it. Number seven.
Totally.
What is 34 times 9?
Oh shit.
Too much.
Is 306 is the answer. Close. You were close. Number eight.
Close.
Glow in the dark or 3M?
Glow in the dark.
Number nine. If you could meet one sneaker celebrity right now, who would it be?
Define celebrity.
Anybody influential in sneakers. Who would you want to meet? I don't mean like a Kai's Omar YouTube, like not a Sean Go. Somebody actually important.
Oh, yeah. you know what? I think it'd be cool to meet Tinker.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Just to see where his head's at now and just to hear more from his story and stuff like that. I think that'd be really cool.
Absolutely. Mm. Okay, so number 10, what's the first thing you would ask him?
You know, I'd ask him, why did he keep designing Jordans after the 14? And then see what...
You would backhand compliment him. Nice.
Well, you got to bring him in and then you know.
You humble him a little bit before you go for the throw. Nice.
You know, I'd ask him what his favorite pair is.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one. I would actually really love to know that.
Yeah.
Number 11, Air or Boost?
Air.
Number 12, Dunks or Air Forces?
Ooh, Dunks.
Number 13, what is 9 times 34?
306.
There we go. You're a genius. Yeah, that was so fast.
Me learn good.
Number 14. Speaking of, favorite Jordan model above the AJ 14?
The 33s, because that's all I have.
That's all right.
I stopped at the 12s. We'll get to that.
Number 15. Ricotta, provolone, and feta are types of what?
Cheese.
Nice. Number 16, Wisconsin is responsible for producing 25% of the United States supply of what dairy product?
Let me ask Aaron Rodgers. Cheese.
Nice.
Nice.
The national, number 17, the national dish of the Netherlands is what?
Cheese?
No, it is stampot. It's mashed potatoes mixed with veggies. Close. Really close.
No, I'm pretty sure it's cheese.
Number 18, elephant print or cement print?
Elephant print.
Number 19, what are three sneakerheading essentials? You can take that however you want.
The first is you need a sneaker consigliere. So in my case, it's you guys, whether it's just listening or literally messaging you going like, hey guys, I got this deal going. the second one for me is you got to have like a code of conduct. So for me, like if a shoe that I want, it's got to be like a hell yeah, like a whoop de whoop, like that. Like it's got like I want it. You know, part of that code is also just quality over quantity. And no substitutes. So like if I really want something, I'm not going to be like, well, I could just get this instead and it'll be like that. Like I remember when I was looking for the Jordan Levi's 4s, I'm like, well, I can get the Dunk from Above's and that's a blue Jordan 4. And I'm like, no, it's not the same. and then just like, you know, do your homework, respect the history and, you know, learn from everybody. And then the third one for me is the, you know, be a part and build the community. Like I love what you guys do. And so tuning in every week is an education for me. But even people like, you know, Sean Go and NetMag, they just give it back to the community in their own ways. And so I really appreciate that. So yeah, those are my three.
I'm going to have to edit out the Sean Go shout out, but that was a very well thought out, thought out answer. So I thank you for that. Number 20, what is your number one grail?
I was going to say, did I say Sean Go? I meant to say Seth Fowler, but okay.
There you go. Yeah, that's better.
I'm kidding, Sean. I'm kidding, Sean.
We're not, though. Number 20, what is your number one grail?
It's the, I actually don't own any Dunks, but it's the Nike SB Dunk Low Pro Supreme Black Cement from 2002.
Wow.
Nice.
It's not like he searches that on eBay every single day that he knows the full name on this, the sticker.
Yeah. You want the SKU number? Like,
I was going to say.
What's the color code on it?
It's called expensive. That's what
Yeah, you're right. Number 21. Would you rather receive your number one grail or three other pairs from your top 10?
It's got to be the grail.
I was going to say, after you just said quality over quantity, it better be the number one grail. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great answers. I think the only one you got right was what is 9 times 34. But overall, well done. A great effort from start to finish. So next up, this is what we call your soulography. So this is the part of the show where we just kind of get to know you, how you got into sneakers, and your little sneakerhead history, if you will. So first up, what got you into sneakers in the first place?
It's got to be MJ. So this is back in 97. And my first ever Jordans were the Playoff 12s. And you know, when you're in grade 8, you think you can trick your parents and be like, hey, if I get valedictorian, can you buy me these shoes? And I don't know if I got it, but, you know. So they yeah, I'm valedictorian. They're like, yeah, no, duh. That's what kicked it off in terms of just being a sneakerhead in a sense. But I was going back, I was telling Alvin, I'm like, oh, man, you guys give me some time to look into this. 93, I had like the Reebok pumps. And then 96, I had the Nike Air Thrill Flights. So Gary Payton's original shoe before, not original shoe, but one of his shoes early on. The 97 were the Playoff 12s. 02 was the Reebok Question, the all white one.
Oh, nice.
And that was like the summer of like, you know, when everybody started wearing white shoes and stuff because of Bad Boy and whatnot and P. Diddy. So it's like, you know, you had like the white Tommy Hilfiger shoes and the K-Swiss shoes and all that stuff. And then 05 was the Air Force Ones. So I had like this blue and white pair with like the, it was like a blue and white plaid on the toe cap. I was like, can't even find them anymore. And then 06, Onitsuka Tigers, 07 was like those Lacoste, and then 08, 09 were like Chucks and things like that. And then it was just like high school. So you're just trying to like work part time and get whatever on your feet. So it was just like Chucks for a while. And then 2014 is really when I got back into it. And so that was Chucks and Onitsuka Tigers again. 2016 was like New Balances. And then 2 years ago, back to Jordans, and it was like the Jordan 3 game or the Katrinas that started it up again.
Ooh, nice.
20 pairs later.
So you've always kind of been into shoes then. Yeah. Like you've always, like, since you were younger, you've known about them, but more recently, like you said, in 2016, not that long ago, 4 years ish, you really like heavily got invested back into it. What was kind of the mindset there when you were like, okay, I think this might be like a thing? When did you, what kind of set it off for you?
Yeah, you know, I think for the longest time, and I think everybody will get there. You're like doing the dad life thing, you know, you're trying to get your first home or you're trying to pay off school or whatever. So for a long time, I spent on everything and everyone else but myself. So, you know, trying to get the house set up or whatever. And then when that stuff was not taken care of, but when that stuff was set up, I was like, you know, I love this stuff from time. And so it was just nice to get back into it. So it started off again with those New Balances. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get another pair. And then, you know, 2018 hit. And then it was just like, man, I've always loved those. And, you know, and Keith, Mr. KT, who's my younger brother, who's always been into J's, brought me back to him. Him and I actually shoe twinned on the 97, the playoff 12s in 97. So, and so that's what got, so him, and then of course you guys certainly brought me back into it. So yeah.
Nice. As we should have mentioned, Mr. KT, who we've had on the pod a couple of times now, is the younger offspring of, not offspring, younger, that's the wrong word.
Sibling.
He's not an offspring of Mike. He's a younger brother. He's his younger brother. I don't know why I'm trying to make it sound really fancy. He's Mike's younger brother. So what's kind of keeping you into sneakers now? Like you waited a while to get back into it and now you're very much into it, whether you like it or not, or whether your wife likes it or not. What's keeping you in it now that you're back?
Yeah, you know, one of the things I said earlier was like, you know, do your research, you know, do your homework, respect the history. And for me, it's just learning about the different pairs and like the stories behind them and the effort and the styling and the thoughts behind them is really what gets me going about it. And just learning about the different shoes and the designers and the thought process. Certainly the other part of that is just the community as well. Like you guys do such a great job of cultivating and bringing everybody together and just meeting the people, like not to fanboy, but like the first time you meet Uncle Sean or Sean Collard and just chop it up with him, or, you know, or even Tom Netmag, and he's just so down to earth, and just, you know, it's people like that that makes you appreciate the community that is a part of sneakers. Mm-hmm. Plus also the hilarious stories that come with like Kijiji meetups, you know, those weirdos that just want to meet up at like 10 o'clock at night in a dark parking lot. And you're like, no, I'd like to live to see tomorrow. No. Or it's like $60 extra and I'll think about it.
Life is dependent on the $60. I mean,
yeah. So yeah, but really for me, it's the stories and the people, right? And the more I learn about it and you know, the more, I appreciate it certainly. So that's what I'm into it. And just trying to figure out, you know, what the perfect rotation is.
Do you find yourself actually, because everyone uses the term rotation a lot, do you find yourself in an actually, like, you, anyone can answer this, because I personally don't find myself actually rotating through my sneakers. Like, everyone calls it a rotation, and I think that the word itself kind of is meant to be like, okay, these are the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pairs that I wear steadily, and then every once in a while I'll reach into the stacks and I'll grab a special one. I feel like I don't really have a rotation. I have beaters, like Mike mentioned, walk the dog, go to Sobeys shoes that are just like destroyed. And those are what I'll wear out, but I don't really have like a rotation where I'm like, okay, I'm going to the mall, let's pull from the rotation. It's literally always from the stacks for me. Like, there's no set rotation for me. Do you guys, Mike, you can start. Do you have an actual rotation, or do you kind of just go with the flow?
Yeah, no, I'm going with the flow. It's just more like, man, I miss those shoes, or I haven't seen those shoes in a while kind of thing. And so you pull those out and you get excited. It's like the first time you see them in a while. It's like, ooh, these look good. It's like, oh, shit. No, I don't. Like I said, still trying to figure that out. It's, for me, I'm at the point where I don't know if I'm gonna pick up any more shoes in the next little while. I say that with
Yeah,
a wink and a
definitely.
nudge. But it's more like I said, I want to focus on quality and literally wearing the shit out of all of them, and so I can enjoy them. And then, because I think, you know, growing up, we didn't always get a chance to buy all these things, all these shoes, and now that we can, you're like, oh, I gotta preserve it. I don't want to mess it up, kind of thing. But it's just like you gotta enjoy it too, otherwise they'll just die in the box. So for me, when I say perfect rotation, it's more like how what's a way I could literally enjoy these shoes as much as possible, kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that before we continue, because I do want to know, like if we told our younger selves that there were shoes, or if anyone told their younger self, like their high school self, like, yeah, you have these really fucking cool shoes, but we're not going to wear them because they're too nice. Your high school self would probably slap the shit out of you because that sounds like the stupidest thing. So if anyone's ever wondering if you should wear your shoes, the answer is definitely yes. And that's one really good reason, because you didn't have it in high school likely. And if you told your high school self that you could shit on the whole world by wearing that shoe out, but you're not going to do it because it might get a little bit dirty on that, on the outsole underneath, your high school self would literally beat the shit out of you, and you deserve it. But Alvin, so, do you actually have a rotation? Because you have like the racks by your door, which is are quite healthily filled for sure. But then I know you also have the stacks upstairs, like in the shoe room. Do you have the rotation that you pull from regularly, or?
When I used to go to the office, I would always make an attempt to pull from the stack. But now that it's kind of like COVID and there's really nowhere to go aside from the grocery store or doing like a drop off somewhere, I literally have like a same thing. Like it's like a beater rotation, but it's like beat, like good beat stuff. You know what I mean? Like a black cement pair of threes. I got like the white pair of Ying Yang ones there. You can never go wrong with a pair of Vans Old Schools. So it's just like stuff that you could wear with anything, as opposed to like the heat that we have in our closets or like our stacks. Like I don't know. I think now though, I am gonna make an attempt to, if I go anywhere, whether it's like the grocery store, McDonald's, or like just to sit outside, I'll try to bring something out from the stack, just because like I do miss wearing sneakers, like nice ones. So yeah, definitely. Like I have a beat rotation right now, and that's it. Because I've been lazy as F too. So you know, we'll see what happens though.
Yeah, like Mike said, I've been trying my best to pull and just remember, because like you said, like it's so hard right now because there's nowhere to go. Before, if you had a sick fit, you're going downtown and you're gonna kill it. Like, where am I going now to kill it? Like, to get the mail. But I'm still like, I'm trying to get a fit off no matter where I go, even if it's Canadian Tire or Walmart or whatever. Like, I literally wore my Travis Air Force Ones yesterday to go for a walk in the woods, because I was like, I just want to wear my nice shoes and go somewhere and wear them outside. But Joel, you're in a similar situation to Alvin. I know you have like the racks upstairs with the loose shoes, and then you have all the stacks in the basement. Do you have a steady rotation of like not beat shoes that you pull from regularly, or do you just kind of go with the way of the wind and pull from wherever?
Recently, like during this whole COVID thing, like, you know, I've been at work and Mayor's been at home. So that stack that's in the living room or in the hallway is no longer there. So it's everything's moved around, and it's she's at like at that point where it's like only a two shelf rack here, and whatever's gonna fit here is gonna fit here. So all your stuff is downstairs and whatever. So right now, I don't really have much of a rotation going on. It's pretty much like, you know, whatever I could reach for. I'm not even touching the stacks at all, to be honest. Like I haven't really touched any stacks. I haven't really done anything, man. Like you see it in my post. Like I've been slacking. Like, you know, it's there's no post, there's no sneaker wearing. It's pretty much like dry. So I don't know, maybe I'll start getting back into it now that things are seeming to, like, you know, daylight seems to be like cracking open a bit during this whole pandemic. So I don't know, maybe I'll pull something out and, you know, take some shots and whatnot. But yeah, man,
Maybe we'll have
there's
to,
really no rotation at all.
maybe we'll have to organize something, just get people to put on some shoes, because like everyone's saying, there's nowhere to go,
Yeah,
but everyone wants to wear the shoes that they have, but you have nowhere to go. So maybe we'll do like a stoop, front porch photo situation and just get people to wear their shoes. But anyways, back to Mike. So as you mentioned, as we've mentioned, you got into sneakers officially. We'll say it officially because once you have a steady rotation of, like you said, 20, 30 pairs, I think you're in it for the long haul now. How do you find that your sneaker buying is different than you think it would have been if you got into sneakers earlier in life? Because you're early 30s, you know, like maybe 32, I think. So you're a little bit late bloomer into jumping into sneakers. But how do you find that it's changed when you look at other younger sneakerheads buying sneakers?
Yeah, like it's interesting. One of the things I noticed with the younger sneakerheads, and not all of them, but, you know, some of them, they just... I think Rushy Grant said it best, like they see it as currency nowadays. And so they don't wear it and they're just using it to trade up for the next thing or to make a quick buck kind of thing. So for me, like whenever, like I said, you have to have your own like personal code. And for me, it's like, it's gotta be like a hell yeah. Like if I see a shoe and it's like, okay, that's okay. Or like, that's nice. Like, it's just like, I'm not in a position to literally grab everything if they're just okay or nice. So for me, it's like whatever I get, I really, really like and I really, really want. Yeah. Otherwise, it's like, you know, I'll save the picture or I'll see it on Instagram and that'll be enough. But like, it's got to be like a hell yeah or nothing kind of thing.
So do you think that you're buying, because like you're buying back now in a sense, because you started in 20, restarted again in 2016. Do you find yourself buying more new stuff or more old stuff?
When I got back into it, it was like a lot of the old stuff. So I'm a big threes guy. So in terms of like Fear Pack threes, the white cement threes, certainly black cement. That was like the summer when Tinkers and International threes came out. So it was like a good time to get back into it. We did the lineup for the bio beiges. So that was... Most of my stuff really are threes. So it is a lot of the older stuff. I did really get into the 33s. So I picked up the Travis, not because I'm a big Travis Scott fan, but it's more like I like the colorway and I like the style. And really for me, it's like if I like it, if I like how it looks, like it's art on your feet, right? So, and if I can wear it, then I'll do it. So that's really how I'm approaching that.
As you mentioned, we lined up, I think you said it was your first lineup actually, when we lined up for the bio beiges. And I remember you were very excited about it. I feel like you might have brought something ridiculous, but I don't remember what, like something that no one actually brings to a lineup, but you brought it. Was there something, or am I misremembering?
You're the one that brought the neck pillow.
I brought a neck pillow. Yeah.
It was you. Yeah. No, that night was fun though. Like we took my beater of a Hyundai Elantra and we parked it right by the Jordan store. So that was perfect if we had to drop off the seats or whatever. But it was pretty chill that night. So, no, I don't remember. It was just talking to random people. And I think I told you guys, I told at least you and Alvin, remember that kid who was just like, yo, these won't even resell properly. Like, I bought his like Jordan 4 Levi's earlier this year. I'm like, line up. He's like, yeah, and it was like crazy that we meet like, you know, a year and a half later. And you can tell like it's a small community in so many different ways, right? Like everybody knows everybody and your rep goes far. So it's interesting the people you meet along the way, whether it's literally in a lineup or online, right?
Something funny or two things funny about that night. First of all, that story with that kid, I think he left, but I don't remember. But as soon as we got there, he was like, I think he might have been looking on StockX and he realized the shoe wasn't going to be, because he was there before us and we were there really early. And he might have been looking at StockX and he turned to us. He's like, yo, these aren't even going to be reselling for a lot. And he's like, do you think it's worth it lining up? And we're all like, well, yeah, we're buying them for ourselves. So we think it's worth being here. And then the second funny thing was, I remember you parked the car right along the street and you were like, yeah, we'll take shifts and we'll all go sleep in the car if we're tired. I don't think anybody touched the car. Like, we all just sat out the whole night and talked. But so speaking of all that, what's been the most surprising or something you didn't expect when you got back into sneakers, whether it be resale, whether it be the community? What's been the most surprising or unexpected thing that you've noticed kind of coming in later in the sneaker game and in your life?
Yeah, so I'll go at it two different ways. So the negative side of it is Makes me sound like an old man, but how expensive this stuff got. Like, it's crazy. Like, even resale used pair of whatever, you start at 300, period. Right? And that to me is insane. Like, I don't know how these kids who are like on minimum wage are doing it. And it's just like, and they are, it's nuts. Right? So that's one negative surprising thing to me. The more positive side, like I said, is more the people you get to meet and the community that you get to be a part of. So I attended my first shoe haul last year with you guys. It was just cool to see people come out, support you guys, but also just come together and talk shoes. Like, I met Matt Thomas, and because we were wearing like our Toro Bravo 4s and like, you know, just random people that you meet and just share the same interests and stuff like that. And, you know, and you meet them in people form. You meet them in real life kind of thing. And you realize they all come from different ages and different backgrounds and things like that. And you hear their stories and how they got into it. So that for me has been the best part. Like, I love stories. I love people. So sneakers make that happen.
That's awesome. I love it. We love you. Thank you for being here. And we hope you'll come back soon. Maybe when it's all over, we'll do in person, because I think this was supposed to be in person before all this happened. Yeah. So we do hope you'll be back. But we've been ending all the episodes recently with a frontline worker shout out. So we just want to show love to the people who are out on the front lines, working their asses off and being superheroes and trying to save the world, because it's a crazy time we live in right now and we need people like this. And we reached out to our followers and our listeners to send in the people they want to nominate. And this one, funny that Mike mentioned it, comes from Rushy Grant. And he wants to nominate his mom. And he says, after transitioning into telehealth nursing, his mom came out of retirement from field nursing to go back and see patients in the field again. So she went from telehealth back into the field, which is obviously dangerous, the most dangerous. And he says, she's a goddamn superhero. God bless her soul. And we absolutely agree. And we thank you,
Mama Grant.
Mrs. Mama Grant, and we appreciate you. Someone else we appreciate, Mike. Thank you for being here. It was really fun. We do hope you'll come back once it's all over and we can hang out in person and have some Mary Brown's coleslaw.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, guys. It was fun.
Thank you, Mike.
I was going to say, I think I owe you guys a few doubles, so we'll make that happen.
Yes. Yeah, Mike's bringing food next time we hang out. Nice. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, everyone who has supported and or been a part of the podcast. Wherever you're taking in the episode, please leave a comment, review, follow, and or subscribe. We've got a Facebook group. We'd like to use a forum, sell stuff, and connect with you guys called CGS Talk. You can find it at facebook.com/groups/CGS.talk. We've also got a website we use for reviews, recap stories, and much, 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 much more called CanadaGotSold.ca. If you have any questions or suggestions for any of our segments, like the Soul Poll, Sneaker Heading for Dummies, or the Fire Round, shoot us a DM or email us at CanadaGotSoul@gmail.com. Of course, do not forget to use #CanadaGotSoul on Instagram for a feature. I've been Lawrence Hopkins. You can find me at LDoggyStyles on Instagram. Woof.
I'm Joel Hernandez. You can find me at Joe Dooney, JO_D3OsNEY.
My name is Alvin Quincy, and you can find me at MISTERQ and then Mart.
And our good friend and esteemed guest, Mike, where can they find you?
So you can find me on IG at Jumping In With Both Feet.
Nice. And
nice.
Thank you for listening to us talk about sneakers for 121 episodes. And please remember to rock your kicks. This has been True to Size. We have been CGS and Jump In With 2 Feet. And we are out. Peace.
Later.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks,
man. That's fun.
That was real fun. That was real good.